Okay, shalom, chevra. Welcome, everybody. Join us for learning tonight. We're all at home now. This isn't the way normally we thought we would be getting together. However, we're doing a very important mitzvah right now. The mitzvah deraisa, which each one of us is performing, is ushmarta ma'oides nafsho seichem. We're guarding our health. We're protecting not only ourselves, those around us, and we have to understand what's the proper frame of mind to have when we're doing this mitzvah, Ushmart Ma'odis Nafsho Seichem. That there's a story told, I heard this story years ago, but only recently put into the following context. There were two brothers, the famous brothers, Rebbe Melech and Rebbe Zushia. And they would travel around, they had a kabbalah, they would never spend more than one night in a town. And they would travel, and they ended up in jail one time. And the guard of the prison was a tremendous anti-Semite. And in order to make the two tzaddikim, these two brothers, miserable, he knew that if there was a foul odor, a bad smell in the prison cell, they would be prohibited according to Jewish law. They couldn't daven, they couldn't learn, they wouldn't be able to do anything because of this. So he purposely stuck a bucket of soa, of excrement, a terrible, terrible odor, in the middle of this prison cell. And when the brothers walked in there, so the Rebbe Remelech was crying, and the Rebbe Zushi was smiling. So the Rebbe Zushi was smiling, turned to his brother Remelech and says, Melech, why are you sad? He says, what do you mean, why am I sad? I'm sad because I can't daven. There's a bucket here with terrible, terrible odors in here. I won't be able to daven. Says, so what? Why do you want to daven? Says, what do you mean, why do I want to daven? I want to daven because it says in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to daven. He says, oh, you want to daven to Hashem because that's what it says to do in Shulchan Aruch. But don't you understand, my dear brother, the same Shulchan Aruch that tells you to yes, daven, it's the exact same Shulchan Aruch that tells you in this particular situation not to daven. He says, oh, you're right. The mitzvah right now is not to daven. So what happened? Got very happy. Started smiling. They started dancing a little bit. They started making a tremendous commotion. Simcha, Rikudin, they're dancing. And the guard hears what's going on in the prison cell, and he comes down, and he walks and says, what's going on over here? Why are you so happy? He said, you know why we're so happy? We're so happy because of this bucket, because of the foul-smelling odor coming from this bucket. That's bringing us to a place of simcha. The guard says, yeah. Well, I won't have that. He takes the bucket, and he takes it out, and says, I'm leaving. I'm taking my bucket with me. Okay, the guard leaves. The bad smell goes away. They put on towels and fill, and start davening. That's the Maisa. But you see from this, the same Shulchan Aruch that tells us what to do, when to daven, it's also tells us when not to daven. And the same Shulchan Aruch that tells us to, yes, go daven in shul, is right now, the same Shulchan Aruch is telling us the mitzvah right now is not to daven. And as hard as it is, it's not to be with our friends and not to be with our families. But yet, there's a tremendous opportunity in this. We need to be besimcha while following what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure if you saw this, but there are 11 chief rabbis throughout the world who called for this upcoming Shabbos, Shabbos HaGadol, to be a special Shabbos of Achdus, of unity. There was an open letter, and it made many parallels between what's going on right now in us being in our homes and what happened 3,332 years ago when we left our homes in Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Mervis from the chief rabbi of the United Kingdom, he said, this is a time for kindness. Shabbos HaGadol was first celebrated by the birth of the Jewish people moments before the dawn of our deliverance from Egyptian slavery. Every Jewish family, alone in their homes in Egypt, sat fervently anticipating the united dream of deliverance and nationhood. Now, 3,332 years later, this Shabbos HaGadol, we too sit isolated in our own homes, once again united in our fervent prayer for relief from global pandemic that's shaken our world to its core. This is a time we have to follow all the health protocols that have been outlined. We have to call, reach out, send messages, supports to each other. They said in this letter, in our heroic global quest to protect each other, we find ourselves physically cut off from one another. Many of us are completely alone. Call or message someone who you know is alone or struggling. Wish them a good Shabbos. Give them words of support and encouragement. They urge a disconnect from the relentless news cycle for a precious 25 hours. This is a time for us to rally together in unity. It's a time to be together, to welcome Shabbos together as one people with one heart. And that's an amazing thing, the amount of achdus that has really come out over these last few weeks. If you look in the source sheets that I sent out, the very first source is the Tanya Be'Eliyahu. When I met with a group of volunteers for the Chesed committee, I began by quoting this Tanya Be'Eliyahu to them. Yotzei Mitzrayim in mitzvah achad ha'is b'yadam. Those who left Mitzrayim had one mitzvah in their hand. Ha'is l'nei HaKadosh Baruch HaNoach har be'yosem in ha'mei mitzvos. And that one mitzvah that the Klal Yisrael had was more precious to Hashem than all the other mitzvos. Umahi ha'mitzvah achad sh'ha'is b'yadam. So what was that mitzvah they had? She'asukul maguda achas. That the Jewish people got together in one group. V'karsu bris l'gomol chesed ze im ze. They made a covenant. All they could do was to chesed for one each other. That one mitzvah, that pact, we're confined. There's not many things that we're able to do, but we're finding ways to do chesed, unprecedented ways of chesed. Phil Rosen sent a letter this week to the VAD describing the delivery service that was set up and how a young woman came, called his wife from the kosher supermarket and said, I have your list in front of me, but they're out of this. Would you prefer this? I'm here in the store. Is there anything else you could use while I'm here? And they left a little money out on the window for the lady who volunteered her time. And she dropped off the groceries on the front door and turned to walk in. He knocked at the window. He said, he pointed to the envelope, but she wouldn't take it. Mi ka'amcha Yisroi goy echad ba'aretz. How fascinating, how beautiful is the chesed that the Klal Yisrael is doing now, especially in this place of confinement. So, I'll show you Gemara in Bava Kamma, Samach Amud Beis. The Gemara in source number 2, Ton Rabbonin, Dever Be'ir, when a plague comes to the city, you should literally limit the amount of time you spend outside the house. Don't go out until the morning. The Omer the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Lech Ami Bo Bechadarecha, come my nation, go into your rooms. Sgordal said, guard, close the doors Ba'adecha, behind you. The Omer Michutz Tishakel Cherev Umechadorim Ema. Outside the sword will be there, but in the chambers there's terror. Rava Be'idan Rizcha, in the time of plague, Rava Sok Kavideches, he would close the windows of his house. Because the Pasuk says, Ki olam mavis b'chaloneinu. The death is coming in through the windows. And the Gemara continues, Tan Rabbanan, Dever be'ir, when there's a plague in the city. Al yahalich adam be'emtza haderech. A person should not walk in the middle of the road during a time of a plague. Mipnei shamalach mavis mahalich be'emtza hadrochim. Because that's where the malach mavis is found. That when a person's in the middle of the road, that's where the Malach HaMov is. Since he's there, you shouldn't be in the middle. In the contrast, Shalom Be'ir, when it's a time of peace in the city, then at that point, you should not walk on the side of the roads. You should walk in the middle of the road. So let's keep this Gemara in mind. The difference is, says the Gemara in Bava Kamma, when there's a plague, Dever, a magefa, don't go in the middle, go to the sides. And when it's a time of shalom, one should go in the middle of the road. So if you look on the next page, source number 3, Shailas and Shuvas from the Rashbash. The Rashbash of Shlomo ben Shimon Duran. He lived 1400 to 1467 in Algiers. He was a very big opponent of Kabbalah. But I want to show with you, this is not the whole tshuva. I'll read it and translate sections of it. The question was asked him as follows. Source number 3. Hanisa b'yamei dever mimakom lemakom. If a person runs away from one place to another when there's a plague that comes, im tol adam olo, will that help? So the question that he's being asked is, wasn't it already determined what's going to happen? Didn't we all recite unasana tokef? Didn't we all say what's going to happen to us? So why am I running? If Hashem had written in the books on Rosh Hashanah, so what will it help if we run? And if we were written in the book of life, we don't have to. We could just stand here. We're not going to get harmed. So it's a long tshuva. I only put sections of it, and probably won't have time to do the whole thing with you. But let's just start it together. Kol adam yesh lo keitz katzu mispar yemei chayv. Every person has a certain amount of days that are allotted to him or her. V'davar zeh kasuv b'Torah. Es mispar yemecha amalei. I'll fulfill the length, the number of your days. Shana b'nevim hotzimif l'chal yemecha. I'll add to you. Meshulosh b'ksuvim. It's in Torah. It's in Navi. It's in Ksuvim. And even though, yes, it was determined on a klal, on the entire community, on the entire country, the sword, the magefa that's going to come, it said which countries will have a sword, which countries will have peace. But there are certain individuals within that klal. On those people who are living in these countries, it wasn't written anything on them. They didn't do an avera. So for these people, it would make sense for them to flee and to run and to follow the course of nature. That they have to follow what it says. It would make sense, in fact, says the Rashbash, to flee in such a case. And then he quotes the Gemara we just saw, that Gemara in Bava Kama. Don't go outside when there's a plague. Rabbi Idan Rischa, have a sakakov, you close the windows. Kolomer. Bishas magaif is soichan chalonis, close the windows. Vramu dever ir al yahalich adam beemsa drachim. Don't go in the middle of the roads. Dever ir al yahalich adam beis kenes yichi, you don't go by yourself. Levisho nichta barash hashan v'misas magaifa v'nishar b'choyka efshar. So now watch. Let me skip to a little bit where I underlined. Hakavana bezeh. What does it mean? What kind of advice is that? When there's a plague in the city, don't walk in the middle. So listen to the words. Again, this is written in the 1400s, but it applies to us right now. Tav Shin Pei, 2020. Hakavan bezeki b'shas sabrius. When a person is healthy, and when everything is quote-unquote normal, tzarech al mahashvos hanhaga, so a person should go in the normal way. Regular, we call the Rambam's idea of the Shvil HaZahav. In a medium, that's what it means by going in the middle. Longs motzo macholo mashkehu, eat in the normal way, drink in the normal way. Malvushov, your clothing should be normal. Shenos, you're sleeping, your awake hours all should be normal. Avir hamaki bo b'tinosov minchosov tinosov nafshios. Klomar b'simchoso, with the simcha that a person has, vanchoso, and they're groaning. B'kaso, with their anger that a person has. Don't go to extremes. When it's a time of shalom and everything's, we don't advocate going to an extreme place to act in a way like this. But when it comes to a time of plague, one has to go to an extreme. At the time of a magef, at the time of a plague in the world, one must go to extremes. But look at what extreme he tells us. Sheyosip and Hagos lekalas hamoserim. One should stay away from luxuries. V'labas b'mozon v'yochol devarim tovi ha'ichus ma'ati b'kamus v'yarbe b'munocha v'yarchik me'agia v'yarbe hamunochim l'tovim. Here it is. V'yarchik ha'anocha, take an extreme distance from sadness, v'yarbe ha'simcha, and take an extreme case of simcha. That's the Eitzah. That's the Avoda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding of us right now, at this time of a worldwide pandemic. As the Megefa is impacting every single person in the entire world. It's not just, oh, it's in Sri Lanka, but it's not by me. It's in France, but it's not here. It's in every single one of our lives. Billions of people in the world. And the Eitzah is to be B'Simcha. Reb Chaim Vital brings down that a person at a time of Magev should stay away from anger, should stay away from worrying, should stay away from depression. Easier said than done. We have to remember, who's sending this to us? Everything is coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Particularly, one thing we should try very hard to work on now is Kas. I've had many conversations with people and they're nervous. Uh-oh, what's going to be? A three-day Yom Tov at home with my whole family? There's going to be Kas. Don't let it. Don't let it come through your front door. A person has to be mesimcha and be mechazik themselves in that idea. There was a great gadol, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He founded the Musar movement. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, there once was a plague, and he rented out a hospital, and he took Bochrim, and he promised that he would return them complete health. And they went and they treated people like this. And it was Elzman. And he said, normally, more shchar, and there's a pachad, and there's a heaviness. Even though it's Elzman, the avoda right now, during the time of the plague, is to be besimcha. That's what we got to work on. That's the idea to focus upon at this. There's a bracha we make every single morning. Hanosing l'sech l'vino. Hanosing l'sech in yom vein laila. Hashem gave the rooster the ability to tell the difference between day and night. Really? That's the only animal can do it? Of all the animals we have in the entire kingdom, the animal kingdom, the only one who knows how to tell the difference between day and night is the rooster? Why did Hashem, I know it's in the Sichvi, Sichvi is a rooster. So why did Hashem pick this one? Why did the Chazal pick this particular animal? So there's a difference. But Elimelech Biederman pointed out that the rooster is the animal who crows while it's still dark, before the light comes. They can tell it's about to come, and they're the one that give a simon for that. And that's our vote. While it seems very dark right now, is to be besimcha with what's going to happen in the future. I was listening to Vortlach from Elimelech Biederman. I was so inspired by them. He asked, why is it that we don't call the police by the Afikoman? It's a Geneva! Stole my Afikoman! We know it's a joke. We know they're not calling the police for that. Because we know deep down, each one of us, that yes, the Afikoman was quote-unquote stolen. Rapam didn't like that word. Rapam didn't like the word stealing anything. He said, we're going to sneak the Afikoman. Okay, Rapam was famous tzaddik for his lush and nakia, always spoke in a very refined way. So he didn't like the word stealing the Afikoman, sneaking the Afikoman. Okay, so we'll ask the question differently. Why don't we call the police when someone snuck away our Afikoman? And we know why. Because we know it's going to come back to us. That piece that was taken from us, it's going to come back. And not only does the Afikoman come back, it comes back with matanos. It comes back with gifts. Better, more than was taken from us, we get back. A person goes through any suffering, any yisurim in their life, they're going to get back more than was taken from them. That's our avodah. And we feel that amun at the Leil HaSeder. We feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give back to us more and more and more. If you look in the next source on the sheet, it's from the Haggadah Hegyoni Halach of Mirsky. He writes that there really is a dual message. That idea of the matzah being broken at Yachatz and then becoming the Afikoman. Well, matzah in itself has two aspects to it. In the matzah, on the one hand, it's lechem oni, a poor man's bread, a bread of affliction. The Gemara Darshan's lechem oni l'mdvarim harbe, things we speak out about, the Haggadah, the Hallel. But also the oni breaks a piece because he doesn't know where his next meal is going to come. And it's interesting, when the Ibn Ezra was in jail at a particular time in his life, he writes that while he was in prison, they didn't put a smelly bucket in his prison, but they fed him matzah. When the Ibn Ezra was there, they fed him matzah because for a slave or a prisoner, it's cheap, flour and water, and it keeps you full, so you don't have to eat a lot of it. And you don't go to the bathroom that much. So if you're a slave, you don't walk away from your job for very long. So while we were slaves, the food, the singular food that epitomized our slave mentality was matzah, lechem oni. And yet, the Ramban writes, not only is in the requirement to eat that, in the same pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, when it talks about lechem oni, it says, b'chipazon. Chipazon, we left with great haste. That's a sign for the opposite of geula. In that same matzah that we're eating, we have a dichotomy. We have the slavery, the avdus, yet we also have the cheirus. We have the geula in it together. and to feel that as we are eating our matzah this year, to feel the Zeichel Abbas and also to remind ourselves of that Chavrus that's going to come, of that Afikom. We don't call the police. Nothing was stolen. We're only going to gain from this. We're only going to get back from this. We're only going to emerge from this self-isolation, social distancing and the quarantines. We're only going to gain out of this. But we have to have Emunah and we have to be Besimcha. We can't let Kas come in. It has to be Besimcha. Everything that's happening is for the Klal Yisrael. In Rabbi Yosef Rimon's Haggadah, he writes that life is full of difficulties and challenges. We must have faith that even the bad times are part of the redemption process. One must sometimes break something in order to progress, to build higher floors. However, we have to acknowledge at the time of the breakdown and yearn for the redemption, awaiting better times, even if the present time it's concealed from us. Already, at the time of Yachatz, when we break the matzah, we set aside a piece for Afikomen. Already, the time of challenge, the time of Lechemoni, we realize this is a stage in the redemption process leading us towards Afikomen, toward eating that matzah of freedom. But everything is happening for the Klal Yisrael. If you look in source number 5, the Gemara says, Omer Belaz ben Avina, Ein ponos bo la'olam el b'shvil Yisrael. Everything that happens in the world is only because of the Klal Yisrael. Shneemar, Hichrati goyim nashamu pinosam, Hecharavti chutzosam. I cut off the nations, their corners are desolate, I made the streets waste. V'chsib, Amarti ach tir'i osi tikhi musar. Surely you'll fear me and you're going to take the musar that I have. It's amazing that things are happening in the whole world, and the Gemara tells us that all this is happening b'shvil Yisrael. For you and I to think and to try and understand what's the message that Hashem is sending us. All of this is happening because we need to learn Musar from it. We have to remind ourselves that Kosh Baruch Hu loves us and that love is never distant from us. In fact, if you think about the way that we describe the Kriyas Yamsuf, there's a difference between it's described in the morning, davening, and when it's described by Mariv. In the morning, it's Yedidim. A yedid, a friend. V'nasta yedidim zmir shiros v'sishbachos. We're yedidim. When it's light out and everything is, A-okay. It's a nice, beautiful light. It's light. We're yedidim. But what about at nighttime? How do we describe the exact same event when it's the nighttime? Bonov. We're Hashem's sons. Hashem's children. Hamavir bonov ben Gizri Yamsuf. He brought his children. We saw it. We're boning Lashem Lokeichem. We have to remind ourselves that a parent only does what's best for the child. Hashem is only doing what is in fact best for us. In source number 6, describing Yaakov Avinu, the end of his life, Vayikra Yaakov El Bonov, he called his children. Vayomer He Asu Agid Lachem. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Now look at the word Yikra. Yikra is spelled Yud Kuf Resh Aleph, but that's not how you spell Yikra. Should have been with a hey. What's the difference between Kra with a hey and Kra with an Aleph? So Mikra means something that's going to happen. That's how it should have been. I'll tell you what's going to happen. But no, Asher Yikra is a Lashon of Kriya. There's going to be a kriya, there's going to be a calling out at the end of time. At Achris Hayamim, Hashem is going to call out, and we need to listen to that. There's a story told that there was once a disaster that hit in China, ironically, in China. And they told the Chafetz Chaim about this. Chafetz Chaim left this world in 1933. And the Chafetz Chaim gave such a krechts. He groaned. He said, oh, that's such a terrible thing. They said, what do you mean? The whole country was full of goyim, like one or two yidden. So listen what the Chafetz Chaim said. Imagine, use the word a megaphone. If a person would take a megaphone in China and speak into the megaphone in Yiddish, who's the person talking to in China? If he's speaking Yiddish, he's talking to the one or two Yidden who are there. The Kriya that's happening in this world right now is talking to the Yidden, that we need to listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sharing with us. Asher Yikra. Hashem's telling us what's going to happen at the end of time. In the Gemara, we began by quoting from Rava, it says he closed the windows. Closing the windows means to limit what a person can see. At a time when the Klal Yisrael is in need of merits, mitzvos, zechuyos, we need to take upon ourselves a Kabbalah, to accept upon ourselves something small, not something big, but we need to close the windows a little bit. We need to have a Shmiras Einayim. We need to be careful about what we should look at and what we shouldn't look at. I recently reached out to the call of a Rebbe, Shabbat Rafur Shlema, Moshe Ben Rezel, and I asked him, what should a Kabbalah be? Now, if you don't know, the call of a Rebbe, Shlita, has ALS. Terrible, terrible disease. The call of a Rebbe is only able to communicate using his eyes. And I felt very guilty that I asked the Gevayim to relate my request, because I knew it would be a tircha on the Rebbe to give a response. But the Rebbe responded through the Gevayim, and he told me to encourage Mispalim and Yedidim to install filters on all their devices. That was the message of the Kal Rebbe, the Kabbalah we should take upon ourselves. If one already has, amazing. If not, now would be a good time. I'm doing it myself. I do not yet have filters on everything, but I need to put them on. We need to take upon ourselves the Kabbalah, small, not something big. Man once went to the Rav Dessler, the Michtav Me'Eliyahu, and he said, I'm not such a big tzaddik, so if I take on a Kabbalah, what is that going to accomplish? So the Rav Dessler responded and said, imagine a person who's in a skyscraper, a huge building that goes all the way up to the 100th floor. He walks into the elevator and he wants to get all the way up. So what does he do? He pushes one small button. If a person pushes that one small button, that can go up 100 floors. We have no idea in Shemayim how much Nachas Ruach we give HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we take upon ourselves a small Kabbalah, a little push of a button. It doesn't go up 100 floors, it goes a million floors. When we accept upon her something, a real act of improvement. The story from Rav Shach Zatzal, that he took upon himself Kabbalahs, but not big ones. He took upon himself a Kabbalah once that he would bench using a bencher, but only when he was at home, and only from, I don't know when it was, he said from now until Pesach. And that was it. You think that's a big Kabbalah? That's what the Rosh Hashiva was taking on a Kabbalah, to use a bencher only when he's at home and only up until Pesach? The answer is yes, because small Kabbalahs accomplish amazing, powerful things. I apologize that I'm a little bit over time, so I'll just conclude with an idea. I see some of my friends here on the call, two of them. We'll give credit where credit is due. Gedalia Reis and Ben Griffel asked, with all the social distancing, is Elio Hanavi going to be able to come to our Seder this year? It's good kasha. Maybe we'll make a fifth kasha this year. Can Elio Hanavi come to our Seder? But the answer is, of course, yes. Of course Elio is going to come. Reb Pini Duner related a beautiful story. He was at a simcha avort for someone's daughter in Muncie, and he encountered there Yossi Jacobson. And he said to Rabbi Jacobson, you're such a famous speaker, you talk a lot about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but there's certain aspects of the Lubavitcher Rebbe's life that you don't necessarily speak about. You talk about all of his accomplishments and his brilliant drushas and the Favarengans, but you don't mention in your talks that when Lubavitcher Rebbe and his wife were married for over 60 years, every Shabbos they ate their Shabbos Seuda alone. Just the two of them. No pomp and ceremony, no attendance, no gevayim. A husband and wife cleaning the dishes, clearing up, spending quality time together. And he asked Rabbi Jacobson, do you talk about this in your drushas? Do you share this aspect of the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Another story. When Lubavitcher Rebbe's wife passed away, it was February 1988, a few months before Pesach. And that year, the Lubavitcher Rebbe made the Pesach Seder alone, as he would continue to do for the very rest of his life. He brings a story of, I'm trying to find the name. No, I don't see it in here. His first name is Ari. I'm blanking on it. He was the one who was tragically murdered on the shot on the Brooklyn Bridge. Albie Halberstam. Halberstam was the name. He asked in 1994, the Lubavitcher, would you like, 770s Lubavitcher, of course, 706. Would you like to come to my house? He invited the Lubavitcher Rebbe to his home for the Seder. The Rebbe said no. So a few of the Bachrim were standing outside. Rabbi Jacobson was one of them. He was maybe 15 years old at the time. And for hours they stood outside watching, waiting for the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he came. When it got to that point of Shvor Chamoscha, tongue twister. He got to that point, he had the candle and he had his Haggadah, and he waved to the Bachrim who were standing outside, and he went back in to complete his Pesach Seder alone. Why did the Rebbe do this? Why did he insist? He could have had 10,000 people would have given anything, would have given their right arm, literally, to spend a Seder with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The man who organized Siddurim around the world, from New Zealand to California, Israel, everywhere in the world, India, wherever a Jew was, Lubavitcher Rebbe provided for them. And yet he himself took a Seder by himself. Perhaps for a year like this, perhaps to teach us that sometimes we make a Seder by itself and that's going to be the best possible Seder that we can have. This is a different year. It was an unanticipated situation. Anybody you would have turned to on Rosh Hashanah and said, did you imagine this is where we'd be 6 months later? Who could have believed? And yet here we are, preparing for Shabbos HaGadol, preparing for Pesach, and we're going to be quarantined. If you look at the very last source on the sheet, Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is talking about the Metzora. I'll read you the English just to save time from the Hebrew and the translating. The root of the commandment is to fix in our hearts that the providence of God, blessed be He, is individualized upon everyone among people. And His eyes are observing of all their ways, as it's written, for His eyes are upon a man's ways, all of his steps He sees. And therefore He warned us to put our minds to this bad illness, and to think that it's a sin that caused it, and that they, may their memory be blessed, referring to Chazal, said it generally comes from evil speech, lashon hara, and we should take it as being a way of happenstance. We should not take it as a way of being happenstance. And we need to come to the Kohen. He's the one that's ready to effect the atonement. And the company of those that atones, maybe he'll contemplate repentance. And look where I bolded. And he's put in quarantine for a few days in order to put his matters into his heart with deliberation and examine his deeds. This is an unbelievable chesed. It seems at first glance that there's din. The way to be mamtik the din, to sweeten the judgment, is to find the chesed, to perform acts of chesed, to reach out to others as we began with, by making a guda, a bonding of chesed, and to touch the lives of those people who need help, who need reassurance, who need encouragement, who need chizik. So this is not a time walking in the middle of the road. This is a time to go to an extreme. The middle of the road, the horses walk in the middle of the road. We're going to an extreme. What's the extreme that called the hour? As we saw from the Rosh Bash, the extreme meter we're working on is being bisimcha. Bisimcha is what Hashem wants from us. So with that, I'd like to wish everybody, those who joined us, those who weren't able to, everybody should have a chag, bari, kosher, v'sameach. Thank you very much.
Thank you.